Our next guest has successfully organized events and festivals throughout her career. She is the former tourism director for Clearwater Beach, Florida. What a great job that must be, huh? And the former chairman of the largest free jazz festival in the Southeast. Wow. Lynn Fuller, welcome to the Ed Till Show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's a pleasure. Beer is my favorite subject. Anytime, anywhere. How fast can we get one popping up here in the radio studio?
Well, are your doors locked right now, or can
No.
we just roll on in?
That's it. I'm leaving every door open for you. Come right in with it. I love the old Oktoberfest. I come from New York. And, you know, those festivals were big. It took days to get them going. Days afterwards, you still see the aftermath. What is a pop-up beer garden?
It is more of a short-term event, more of a gathering that has beer and encourages the local neighborhood to get together and just hang out. And so whereas, say, a bigger festival like an Oktoberfest really has a lot more planning involved, the pop-ups can be pulled together by a local brewery or several breweries that just want to share. And a lot of it's for marketing purposes, just to share with the local community what their product is, introduce it to the neighborhood, to the locals, so to speak. But just a little less informal and
right.
more about hanging out.
Did this come in conjunction with the trend toward craft beers and microbreweries, or are these two mutually exclusive? Because I love a good craft beer, and it's always fun to spend an afternoon at a brewery and talk with the people there. There's a lot more than just the beer that goes with crafting. So do they go together, pop-up beer gardens and craft beers?
Yes, they go together, and what I've observed is that the food truck concept and the pop-up beer gardens happened by pop-up beer garden name happened about the same time in 2010, and it was just a natural fit. The craft brewery guys, it made sense for them because marketing is so expensive when you're competing against some big names, and it was just a much more affordable way to get a local group, a local supportive demographic to taste your product and to understand it. And some of the venues are actually tied to craft breweries, and others actually are occurring in unused parks, in neighborhood parks, even in some old industrial buildings. So it lends itself to craft breweries inexpensively marketing themselves and their products.
You know, it also sounds like it's got millennial stamped all over it, right? A park that hasn't been used very much, getting the neighborhood out for a good time, maybe just for the sake of that good time. You know, it's summertime. Why don't we all just get out there tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, and go have some beers, talk, get to know each other. Very millennial style. Are they feeding this trend?
Yes, and part of that inexpensive venue is tied to keeping the cost down of that festival. So in some cases, the admission cost is merely purchasing a glass or a container to let your beer flow into that evening. So it just an inexpensive outing, and I think that for many people, that's key nowadays. What can I do to just have an inexpensive event with friends?
Exactly. Lynn Fuller is our guest. Now, this is such a brilliant idea. Then I said, hold on a second. This is what Lynn does. She's full of brilliant ideas. Your book is called Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals. And I love everything you're saying there because, you know, to make it memorable, exceptional, we used to think was the amount of money spent on it or the grandeur of it, you know, the big floats or the big presentations. But really, exceptional today is in the experience of the people who have the moment together, right?
Yes, yes. And more people do want that experiential activity. It's not about how much money you can necessarily throw but having a good time with your friends and making it memorable.
So what do you say to people who come to you, or maybe they've even read the book, and say, you know, I'd like to do a one-of-a-kind, hasn't been done before. I don't know where to begin, but I think the concept is spot on for our community. And just pick a neighborhood in Manhattan. They're all so great. But let's say it's the Lower East Side. You know, we're going to do something for our neighbor. They don't do anything big over here. They should. Times Square is getting all the attention. Greenwich Village, all that. We're going to do something cool. But they look to you and your book for the mechanics, for the how-to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with a first-timer? What should a first-time event in a neighborhood, a community, what should they be aware of going in?
One of the most important things is to research. I mean, there may be a reason an event hasn't been done before, but I say it's important that you look at the community calendar overall so that you can see what's out on the horizon. Who are you going to be competing with? Another good thing to do is to see if there's a cause, an organization, a nonprofit, that could use the benefit of your event's exposure to raise funds for them. So that could be win-win for both. And then, so once you know what the landscape is of the calendar, and if you can partner with someone, and by partnering with a nonprofit, quite often they have a volunteer base that they can help you in organizing it and
right.
then attending the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have to find out if, and if I go on too long, just stop me.
No, you're good. But, well, I'm writing okay. everything down here. Take your time.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
And then to really find out if there are sponsors willing to support what you're looking to do. In the meantime, I think it's important that you go talk to your local government agency, because in a lot of ways you're going to impact that community whether you realize it or not. You may want to close off streets. It's going to impact traffic. Do you have access to parking? Do you need special permits? If you're going to have food, okay, I need to keep the health department happy. If I am going to do a beer event or something with wine or alcohol, then you're going to need to involve the health department, most likely, that oversees that, or the local liquor agency. So all of those tentacles need to be put out to the community, because at any point, one of those groups could kill it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. Put the kibosh on it, right? If you don't check with everybody, then the one group or agency you didn't go to, they're going to show up on opening day. They're going to be there mm-hmm. right when you're opening the thing up and going, you don't have this, you don't have that. Yeah, that's huge. And that's, I think, great advice, because if you're too homegrown, you may not think of City Hall and these other things. You think, well, it's right up the block. No one ever uses that playground. All of that is going to have, some kind of jurisdiction that you have to check with, get your ducks in a row. Personality-wise, who's good at this? Do we want a go-getter, one of these mojo people always fired up? All right, we're here for the beer tent tonight. Or do you also need a little bookwormy type, a little nerd type, who's going to do all the little things that are not maybe as exciting? So when it comes to execution, what advice do you give first-timers who are putting something up? Say they do have their paperwork straight. They think they have all their supplies, but they're having that last meeting the night before. They want to get everybody focused on what they're going to do the next day. What are some good reminders?
Well, there are a variety of personality types that you need to pull off an event. You do, in fact, need a go-getter, but to me, there's a difference between someone who's an idea person and there's somebody that actually knows how to take an idea and turn it into a reality. And quite often, those are business people that are in the community that understand how networking works, and they can draw from their friends. I always highly encourage a banker type to be plugged in as your event treasurer, because they're going to make sure that you don't spend money. They should make sure you don't spend money before you actually have revenue or sponsorship locked in, because you can get yourself in trouble quickly. But as you go into that event, you really should have a pre-meeting with all of what I call your grassroots volunteers. Those are the ones that are going to show up for the event, and they need to be well-versed in where to park, where the portalettes are, where the information lost and found is, to actually have the schedule of what should happen that day, so that they're giving out good information throughout the day, so that they know where to park close in, and just there's so many little details you can walk through as you're right about ready to start.
Right. I know. I hear you. It's going to be a long checklist. Now, we don't want to, I want to make sure our listeners stay focused here. All of this is so that there will be this experience that takes place. You don't want to lose sight of all of these building blocks are leading toward an exceptional, I think is the word we used before, exceptional event. So once it's on, and now there's really no chance to change anything, what becomes most important during the actual event from the person who's, you know, the captain here, is really the CEO of this event? What are they looking for to maximize people's exchanges and experiences that day while the event is on?
For me, for what I've always observed works well is that you have a chairman who's actually like the big person in charge of the event, but during the event, they should actually delegate to the person that I call the main stage manager, so that they have someone that can control if the weather turns bad, what's the plan, so that trash doesn't pile up, so that you can have your folks communicating out that if parking is full, use social media if that's commonly used in your particular area to communicate this parking lot's full, need to move over here, or just so that you can keep everybody in tune. I'll give you, for instance, one event that I know always held during the World Series. And you just need to make sure that your audience, who is most likely very large ball players, or at least some of baseball fans, that you're relaying information from the outer world into your event so Ooh. That they can go, okay, well, you know, otherwise the wife was going to have to make sure the husband, you know,
right.
could be home in a timely manner. So there's little subtle things that you just need to be aware of your event, the area surrounding the event, and then the larger world things that are also going on.
Lynn Fuller is our guest. Now, I mentioned it earlier, this has got to be one of the great jobs of all times that you've had. Tourism director of Clearwater, Florida Beach. Clearwater Beach in Florida. It seems that just, you say those two words and you're in, your job is done. But how much fun did you have directing tourism in a garden spot of the country, of the world, for that matter? I love Clearwater. I love Florida. I guess you can tell.
Yes.
You must have so much fun doing that job.
Yes, it's nice to have a destination where everyone wants to go. But some people think there's a lot of glamour in it, but realize that it's in the dead of winter when you're traveling to promote people to come down in summer. So quite often, we were wearing our winter coats and heading to northern states and countries so that we could say, you're planning, your destination, your residents are now thinking about coming to Florida in the summer, so we want to entice you to come. So even though you're in a nice warm state, you
right.
do still have to keep your winter coat for promotion purposes.
You got to have your mittens for work. You got to have your
yes.
mittens ready to go if you're in Minneapolis talking about how beautiful Clearwater Beach is. I get it. The other thing I envy you for, because I wish I had attended this event, it's the largest free jazz festival in the Southeast. Again, your career is bringing joy to people. How awesome is that? Are you a jazz lover, or was it just the mixture of your expertise and that event?
I think the organizational skills that you bring to it, and then you are fortunate enough to be connected with a particular themed event, jazz festivals. I have a little bit of a background in aviation, so an air show is something I also enjoy. So you just have to really be able to speak the industry language
right.
in order to know it, and then surround yourself with those experts that are more familiar with the theme that you're using.
And all of this, and you fly planes?
No.
Oh.
The particular college I went to was an aviation school, and ours was a very small department called Transportation, Travel, and Tourism.
Right.
And so I got to hang out with people that were pilots and aeronautical engineers and that type of thing. So,
Lynn, you are so much fun. I can't get over how your resume makes me smile. thank you so much for opening this dialogue with us. We want to have you back on a regular basis. I think you can be so helpful to little episodes that we see, and then to get back to the big picture, that the skills that you exemplify in the book, The Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals, is a college textbook. How awesome! When did you find that out, and how big was your smile?
That was this little email that showed up in January, and it was just one of those where you do a little happy dance. and since, I've been very pleased to say that I've had four other colleges and universities that have expressed interest, so I'm very, very thrilled.
You should be, because this is exactly what's in demand right now. We talked about this earlier, neighborhoods, communities. You know, identity comes from these events. And once you learn the magic of these events, they're addictive and they start popping up all over the place in your county, in your state. So thank you really for doing great work and for offering people a way to now have a handbook on how to do a successful event. A real pleasure having you on the show today, Lynn.
Thank you. My pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
You bet. Lynn Fuller, what a great guest. She'll be back with us many, many times, because we are in festival and celebration season as we wrap up spring and we're fast heading towards summer. Lynn Fuller, terrific. The book is Secrets to Successful Events, How to Organize, Promote, and Manage Exceptional Events and Festivals. By the way, being used as a college textbook. Awesome. All you have to do is go to lynnfuller.com, LynnFuhler.com. It's the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. All right, I'll give you a headline right now. The Dow was down for the day, 300...